Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY23 earnings conference call of Carbon India Limited, organized by Orient Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Bhavya Shah from Orient Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the conference call to discuss the results for Q2 and H1 of FY2023. Today, on this call, we have from Carbon India Limited, the promoter, Mr. Siddhartha Roy Burman, who is the Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ritik Roy Burman, Whole-time Director, Ms. Namrata Chowdhary, CEO, and Mr. Indrajit Chaudhary, CFO. Before we start the call, I'd like to give a small disclaimer that this conference call may contain forward-looking statements, which are based on the beliefs, opinion, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. Actual results may differ materially. A detailed safe harbor statement has been published in the company's investor presentation, which has been uploaded on the stock exchange today. I hope everyone had a chance to go through the presentation and the press release. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Siddhartha Roy Burman. Over to you, sir.
Okay. Thank you. Namaskar, everybody. On behalf of Carbon India Limited, it is my pleasure to welcome you all to this conference call to discuss the Q2 and H1 quarter result for the financial year 2022-23. On today's call, we will provide a progress report on industry and overall business and its execution. Secondly, I will go into more detail about our demand scenario and what will be our strategy going ahead finally. I will return to provide some brief closing remarks on containing our outlook for the remainder of the year before opening the call for questions. Coming to our business, the company has maintained its strong quarterly business performance because of the increased demand for its product over the festive seasons. The first festive season without the long shadow of pandemic saw buoyant consumer with a prospect. Coming to our business, the company has maintained its strong quarterly business performance because of its increased demand for its product over the festive season. The first festive season without the long shadow of pandemic saw buoyant consumer with a propensity to spend higher than average. This has stimulated the business growth and helped us record robust growth in the first half. The positive momentum can be attributed to Carbon's continuous focus on developing affordability priced item to suit consumer demand, expanding its brand footprint through scaling up its retail presence and distribution strategy. We have added 33 new stores in Q2 and 58 stores in total in H1. Your company continues its expansion in the Tier 2 and Tier 3 locations through its asset-light strategy, taking the store totally to 826 as of September. The core proposition of the brand is affordable fashion for the entire family for all occasions. We are maintaining the growth pace of our business by expanding our retail stores, which allow us to reach more people in our target market and provided them with reasonably priced fashionable footwear to continue providing our customers with the wow experience. We aspire to establish ourselves as the family-first choice footwear brand. Now, Q2 and H1 financial highlights. Q2 FY23 revenue at rupees 186 crore has grown year-to-year by 15%, and H1 FY23 revenue at 352 crore is up 41% year-to-year. Second point, both retail and distribution business have registered double-digit growth in H1 FY23 year-to-year at 64% and 12% respectively. In the challenging macro environment, gross margin for H1 FY23 stands at 41%, an increase of 350 basis points year-to-year from 36.5% in H1 FY22. Retail and distribution gross margin have improved marginally. EBITDA for H1 FY23 has more than doubled year-to-year at rupees 39 crore, registering a growth of 195%. We are proud to say that we have reported the highest quarter-ended EBITDA margin at 11.2%, which has improved by 590 basis points year-to-year. We have significant improvement in PAT, growing from a loss of 4.4 crore in H1 FY22 last year to 8.4 crore profit in H1 FY23. Namaskar, now we can go for question and answer session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from the line of Abhishek Getam from Alpha Invesco. Please go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, you're audible, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. My first question was regarding how has our vision or how has the portfolio evolved around sports and athleisure? Currently, how much would it be contributing, and what is the sort of the ASP in that segment for us?
Well, thank you, Abhishek, for your question. So in terms of in the distribution segment, the sports category has done very well this quarter and in the first half of the year. We've doubled our sales in this first half. And in terms of the category, I think right now, I think we've started this category 2 years back. So I think the contribution is approximately 7%-8% of the total sales. And in terms of the retail side also, the contribution of the sports category has been the second largest after the mother brand Khadim. So the athleisure as a category is a focus point for us, and I think it is also pretty much growing pretty well.
Understood. And what are the sort of the ASPs we are doing in this segment, in distribution and retail for this?
So in the sports shoe segment, I think we've been so we have a price range on an MRP basis, which goes from 599 to approximately 1299 under the brand Fitnext. And so the sweet spot in terms of MRP ASP will be approximately around 700 rupees. And on the same basis, the ASP at our company level will be around 400 rupees.
Company level, 400. Okay.
For the distribution segment. And on the retail side, the ASP would be around 1,300-1,400 rupees.
Okay. Okay. And in retail, okay, it's second biggest for us. So I was leaning towards so I'm guessing sports would be the highest ASP for us. So I do understand since other segments are lower ASP, we can't really offer an online strategy because it does not make it viable, including the shipping charges and the return charges. But for sports, can we propel it via the online strategy for athleisure?
Abhishek, that's a very good point because in the sports category, we are looking at growing extensively in the online business also. In the next year, we're looking at developing e-commerce-focused sports shoe category as well so that it does not jeopardize our existing trade.
So are most of the online efforts will be put towards the sportswear, right?
The sports shoe, even formal shoes. I think one of the other categories which is does very well and the higher price point for us is a formal leather shoe, which is in the range of on the retail side, we have formal leather shoes at 1,299, and to premium leather shoes, we're starting around 1,999 and going up to 3,000 rupees. Frankly, that category for us is a very good category because the kind of price points we are in, there's not too much of competition there. On the distribution side also, this year we've entered in on the formal shoe category at almost 799-899 rupees, where there's very limited competition also. So even this category, there's a lot of interest on the e-commerce space, which we'll be also focusing on.
How much would formal leather would contribute in retail and distribution, sort of a percentage?
It'd be around 5%-7%.
In both?
Leather is not then distribution, it's only then retail. So the leather footwear will be around 5%. But I'm saying formal shoes as a category is of a lot of demand because of the kind of price point that you're offering at. Because as I said, leather footwear at $1,299 or $1,999, there are not too many brands offering you a good range, and we are able to do that.
Understood. Understood. Second is a quantitative number. What would be the H1 volumes, retail and distribution?
8.19 million pairs.
This is both combined?
Yes.
Okay. Then, can you give the split, distribution retail?
I'll possibly give that number offline, yeah.
Okay. Okay. Okay, and another was, so in Q2, there's sort of a price cuts taken by other players in the mass segment.
Yeah.
So I think the main concern was regarding a lot of price cuts taken by the local players or sort of the unorganized.
Yeah.
So how is the situation panning out now, and in considering how, what's been the situation in East?
So, frankly, our price was already quite competitive compared to the other branded players, because of which the price and the margin impact was relatively lesser. During the financial year that we have brought in some production efficiencies, which have helped us cover up the impact of the RM price, the raw material price. So the raw material price has impacted all of us on the mass and economy scale. And especially in the distribution side, we've been able to try protecting the margins purely because we've brought in some production efficiencies. But I think we will, given that, that this is a strong Hawaii season, which is coming up in the third quarter, we will have to evaluate in terms of, price corrections, if any, to be able to protect the volumes. But up till Q2, we've been able to protect ourselves because we were already quite competitive in terms of pricing and margins.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. The next question is from the line of Deepan Shankar from Trustline PMS. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks a lot for the opportunity, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So firstly, we wanted to understand what is the kind of price hike taken in retail and distribution business for us during the quarter?
So thank you, Dipen, for your question. Appreciate it. So I think in Q2 and distribution, I don't think we've taken any price hikes purely because, the inflation is a reality and it is impacting a lot of the brands which are focusing on the mass and economy segment. So we've not taken any price hikes in Q2. I think when Q2, the focus has been more to sell, the closed footwear, the sports shoe, the athleisure segment, the formal shoe segment, the fashion focus PU segment, which has done pretty well for us. And Hawaii as a category in Q2 in general has a lower demand, which eventually picks up in Q3, extensively, which is what we are hoping for. In terms of retail, there's been no particular price hike taken in Q2. It's a long supply chain. It's a 6-month end-to-end supply chain from selection to getting the product in the store. So whatever price adjustments had to be taken, factoring in the raw material price and GST already been done pre the financial year. So there's no particular change in retail that we've done in this quarter.
Okay, so most of the growth what we are seeing is primarily driven by volume growth in retail segment.
No, it's a mix of ASP and
product mix change also.
Yeah.
Okay. And also, are we seeing footfalls increasing at stores level across all regions?
So, see, footfalls have been almost equal to last year. But I think as I said, the mass and economy segment is largely focused, largely impacted segment in this sector, because see, if you appreciate, majority of our products are below 1,000 rupees. And there's no other footwear retailer brand with the kind of focus we have on mass and economy. 80% of the items are below 1,000 rupees, and that has been impacted both by inflation and GST. So we are seeing almost equal numbers as last year, but growth is something which we are hoping comes in the near future.
Okay. And especially on the distribution side, we are seeing a lot of even bigger players are struggling to maintain pricing, and also there is a lot of volume decline. So how are we managing the same, and are we expecting this run rate to sustain in coming quarters as well?
See, this quarter we have managed to do a growth of around 9%, 7% rather, in distribution. And if you take this on a gross basis, we've done almost 16%. So I think it'll be because our brand is focused on below 1,000 segment, where the GST has an impact. It'll be objective to look at both the gross and the net numbers also. So if you're looking at the gross number, it's almost 16% growth. And in the retail side, it will be almost 25% of growth. And to answer your question, in terms of how does that impact, how are the other brands managing, how we have managed, we've been able to do a good deal and good growth in the closed footwear in terms of sports and in terms of athleisure and formal shoes. But as I said earlier, we're seeing sluggishness coming in because of the impact of the inflation and GST on the ground level. And we are trying our best to be able to incentivize our customers by schemes and incentives so as to ensure there's offtake of stock.
Also, there was impact in the volume of PVC footwear because there was no rain in the eastern part of the country in this year.
Okay.
Because Khadim is very well known for its PVC products. And the offtake had been lesser owing to the lack of rains. But we've been able to manage growth despite that with good share of closed footwear. And we're trying to fight as much as possible to ensure that the offtake continues.
Okay. And how has been the festival demand so far in running into Q3? So are we seeing better growth than even Q2?
No, the Q3, actually the entire festive, which is where the festive for us is more focused on puja. So the entire impact of festive has come in Q2 itself, because Durga Puja, the end of Durga Puja was in the first week of October. So the puja was good, the footfalls was good. There was a lot of public, there was a lot of people out there. I think there was a lot of people revenge shopping, as you may call it, because last 2 years was a dampener in terms of footfalls, because people had a subdued experience. So this year was good, which is why I'm saying on a gross level, if you see, we've grown at almost 25% on the retail business.
Okay. And lastly, from my side, so this current level of operating margins, so do we see further improvement as compared to even pre-Ind AS period?
So right now, I think then hopefully in the next year we'll be able to see that improvement. We're hoping as much to sustain the coming and this existing margin in the coming quarter.
Okay, okay, sure. I'll come back in the queue. Thank you. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, we would request you to rejoin the question queue. The next question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and, you know, congratulations on the recent set of numbers. My first question, you know, is with regards to the competitive activity, especially at the mass end that we have seen. You know, one of the largest player, Relaxo, has, you know, called out for a sharp price cut in September. So in that sense, how are you seeing the demand getting impacted in the distribution business? And are you also taking any retaliatory price cuts in that sense?
Thank you, Gaurav, for the question. Appreciate it. I think the fact of the matter is inflation is definitely a reality, and we are seeing the, you know, cash crunch coming at the lower the mass segment especially. So I think, as I said earlier, that, you know, our price was already pretty competitive compared to the other branded players, which is because of which the price and margin impact was relatively lesser. And that was also you know, accumulated by from the fact that we brought in some production efficiencies by which we were able to protect our margin despite the fact that the raw material price had sprung up pretty significantly. Because, you know, as, you know, Relaxo also has mentioned that, you know, the supply chain that is generally required is 3 to 4 months. But most of us branded players had purchased, you know, a high amount of raw material because of the ambiguity, you know, the political instability in the European markets and the ambiguity around the supply of the raw materials, which would be impacting the continuation of our production. So, you know, most of us had purchased raw material price at a much higher price, but we were able to subvent the impact of it because of production efficiencies. But, you know, given the fact that the Hawaii season also is coming, you know, in Q3 and Q4, we will take an objective call on the price corrections, if any, based on the demand situation, if at all.
Okay, sure. Thank you. And, you know, the second question was with regards to, you know, you actually have maintained margins pretty well on a sequential basis. Because if you see both the margins on the retail front and the distribution front, in that sense, haven't declined much as you highlighted from here on. So how do you see the margins panning out in the years ahead, you know, once this entire inflation thing settles down? And, you know, what will be it built driven by? I mean, you already highlighted, you know, that you are seeing good growth in the sports shoes and the formal wear shoes. So how do you see the demand in these segments sustaining once, you know, things normalize?
So, you know, athleisure as a category, you know, is definitely here to stay. Because, you know, I think athleisure, the way the common man looks at it is close comfort shoe, you know. And that category is growing significantly high, irrespective of inflation, irrespective of the ground situation. And I'm hoping that this continues across quarters. But in the next, yes, there will be a short-term impact. I think all of us in the branded space are facing a short-term impact in terms of because of inflation, especially those who are focused on the mass and economy categories. But I would, you know, look at the long-term proposition of, you know, the category and the mass and economy categories as a whole, and would not be too worried accordingly. So I'm hopeful for the growth even across the category, and athleisure, the segment, definitely is a focus point for us internally, and it has been showing good amount of growth internally.
Sorry, so if I understand it right, you think that, you know, the athleisure as a category will continue to sense the growth rate, and once the situation on the RM front normalizes, you also see growth coming back at the mass segment, if that is the right understanding?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. And if I may, can I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah. So on the retail side, you know, we have been seeing continuous, you know, expansion in terms of the footprint by you and all the other major players, and also across different retail formats. So are you seeing any cost escalations here, especially on the employee front, rentals, and, you know, also, you know, because the marketing spends were substituted in the earlier quarters, how are you seeing the escalations of the cost in the normalized world?
So, I mean, whatever adjustments, like, for example, the employee cost adjustments that had to be taken compared to the last year on normalized businesses have already been taken. I think the escalations will happen from the next financial year, but on a normalized basis. I don't see it being totally out of whack at all. I mean, it will be on a going concern basis.
Because if you open new shop, the salary of the employees remains the same.
Okay, because we were hearing, you know, that a lot of hike in the minimum wages in many places, and also because of the ongoing inflation, the wage rate hike is a bit higher, and hence I was alluding to this fact.
Yes, whatever the minimum wage rates are for a particular state, we adhere to that, and based on the, since we have presence in 24 states, so where we are all paying what is the minimum wage rates. So that is on the YOY increase in the employees' cost.
Sure. So just a follow up on this. Even so, if you know, in this case, so once the raw material situation reverses or normalizes, do you think the entire flow through we can see in terms of the EBITDA margins and ultimately to the PAT?
I think it's a bit premature because I think we'll have to assess it based on the demand and based on the situation. You know, because sitting here today, you know, we are hoping that the Q4. Q4 stabilizes and the inflation impact reduces, because, you know, the raw material that we are buying right now, you know, in forward looking for, you know, the Q4, it is on, you know, on the, you know, it was on the lower side. But having said that, you know, you don't know how the political instability can, you know, the political climate, how it changes, and, you know, how does that impact on the prices. So it's a bit premature to assume that, and, you know, we're hoping that the impact of inflation reduces earlier than we hope.
There should be an improved uptake in the tier 2, tier 3 cities.
Yeah, sure. So my question was more like, you know, if situation remains as is today, you know, because we are seeing some cooling off in the rent trend, and just assuming that we remain as it is where they are today, we should expect some benefit in it, right?
Yes, but I think as Indrajit also mentioned, 60% of our business comes from tier 2, tier 3 markets. So we're hoping that the you know, the disposable income affordability also improves, and yes, we can definitely see the improvement coming in then.
Sure. Thank you, and that's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Can you just tell us what was the revenue mix growth between you know, realization improvement and the volumes?
Sorry, can you repeat your question?
I'm saying the revenue growth, if you could split between volume growth and realization improvement or product mix improvement, because price hike was not there. So essentially, it would be a function of volume and improvement in the product mix.
You're saying compared to last year, right?
Yeah, compared to last year, yeah.
So, on the volume front, there has been, you know, a degrowth of approximately 8%, and balance has been a growth, there's been an ASP growth of approximately around 15%.
Okay. And this volume degrowth that you're mentioning, is it at the company level, or is the trend between retail and wholesale a little different?
No, I think it's a company level.
So broadly similar trends across wholesale as well as retail, you're saying?
Yes, yes.
Secondly, if you could also tell, because you mentioned that it's the lower end of the segment and we are primarily in the value economy, but within your overall portfolio, is it that the bigger volume impact was seen in, say, 500 rupee segment and lesser in 1000 and even much lesser in 1500, or was it across all price segments that more or less the trend was similar?
See, the impact will be higher in the below 500 rupees because the disposable income is lower, you know, in the SEC, B and C. But having said that, you know, we are seeing an impact also, you know, in the 1,000 and below because see, the dual impact. One, you've had a GST increase. One, you've had a raw material price increase. You know, and we on the retail front, we will try to pass on some and retain some because you know we want to ensure that there's affordability in the hands of the consumer as well. You know, we've had to manage and balance out both to ensure that you know that the price is not unaffordable. So you are seeing an impact in both the categories for sure. It's not particularly in the only below 1,000, but the impact of and below 500 is more.
Sure. And in one of the previous calls, you mentioned that below 1,000 rupees is 80% of our volume or revenue?
Revenue and SKUs. Our 80% of our SKUs are below 1,000 rupees on the retail side. And on the distribution side, 80% of our SKUs are below 500 rupees.
But when you say 80% of sales, that is by volume. By value, it will be lower because the above 1,000 rupees realization is much higher. So is it that 30-40% of revenue on the retail side is coming from above 1,000 rupees? Or
no, no. Around 80% of our sales value is also coming to 1,000 rupees.
Secondly, is there any significant difference in margins between these various price points of 500,000 or 1,400? It is just that it helps you get a better value per store, but the percentage gross margins or EBITDA margins are more or less similar.
So, you know, the target margins that you said internally is, you know, is almost equal. But fact of the matter is that the margins are higher on the higher ASP items, the higher price items. Because, you know, to if you are selling a, you know, Hawaii chappal, you are selling a open PVC chappal or a PU chappal or a low price lady sandal. I mean, to have a same margin for the low price items will be tough to get compared to the high price item because the elasticity of demand between 1500 and 1600 is not much as much as 500 and 600. So I think we have to ensure that we're maintaining that balance.
Sure. And so in that case, in terms of trying to renovate our portfolio, what are the key initiatives we are taking and this 80-20 ratio? Where do you think we could be, say, 2 years from down the line? Would be more like 65-70% above 1,000? What is your sense, very broad sense, or your aspiration, if you could say?
See, I think our brand stands for affordability. So, I think the idea is to premiumize within the gamut of affordability. Currently, our ASP is around 600 rupees. I think in the next 2-3 years, I think we'll be hoping for around 7-750. But we're not hoping that, you know, we increase our prices significantly over 1,000 rupees. Otherwise, we will not have our comparative factor in, you know, a differentiating and comparative factor for our brand. Our brand stands for affordable fashion and affordable is below 1,000 rupees.
Okay. I have a few more follow-up questions. I'll join back you.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers given the tough environment. Much more better.
Thank you.
The first question is with regards to your guidance for the current year. You have mentioned about 800 crores of sales on gross basis and 12% EBITDA margin. So, firstly, do we stick to that guidance?
We're trying our best to ensure we're able to stick to the guidance. You know, I think we did not anticipate inflation to hit, you know, us, you know, in the industry. But I think we're trying our best to ensure that we're able to reach that number, yeah.
And just to get a clarification, 800 is the gross number. And in the first half, we have already done roughly 470. And on the other side, the net sales number for the full year guidance would be around 700, 720. That would be the number on the net sales?
Around 700.
Okay. Sir, so the clarification, you had mentioned 12% margin. Now, when we take that margin at 12%, so we should be assuming that to be on the gross or on the net. Because if I look at our operating margins for the current quarter, on the net basis, they are somewhere near 12%. But on the gross basis, they are somewhere around 10.25.
So, EBITDA margin is always at the net sales.
On the net sales?
Yes.
Okay. And secondly, ma'am, just to understand this average sales price you mentioned to the previous participant has moved up by almost 15%. So, typically, if I look at the last year's quarter, leave aside the first quarter, but in general, what could have led to this average selling price increase? Is it the more product mix, and within that product mix, what has helped you to get a better average selling price?
I think it's a function of, you know, some price increases and premiumization within the categories. You know, the focus is to ensure that we are trying to promote the sub-brands and through which you're getting the premiumization and increase in ASP. So I think it's we're trying to create a product with a higher perceived value to help us increase the ASP accordingly.
Sure. Lastly, ma'am, on the gross margin, we have seen gross margins on the retail front somewhere around 50-55 and distribution margins around 35-36% for last 3-4 quarters. And on the company as a overhaul, the gross margins for last 2 quarters have been around 41%. So typically, do we have some levers, or what is the way out to improve the gross margins going ahead in the coming time periods?
So on the retail side, again, it will be premiumization within the gamut of affordable fashion. You know, I think the idea will be to try increasing the, improving the margins of the higher price point item and try to increase the ASP, which will drive the higher gross margins. On the distribution side also, it you know, it will hopefully be both price increases and gross margin and premiumization also by improving the, by increasing new category items, sports category, you know, formal shoes. But it will have to be gradual. I think we'll have to take it, you know, we'll have to pace it out, taking into account the ground realities based on the demand and, you know, inflation. So I think it could be a mix of both, but we'll tread with caution.
Sure. And lastly, madam, on the average sales per store, so how has been the movement on the average sales per store, both on the retail side and the distribution side? So more, of course, on the retail side within COCO and franchisee, how has been the average sales per store, and typically how do you see it going ahead?
So the average sales per store in a COCO is approximately 1.5 crores, and it is, you know, the trend is continuing in that way. And a franchisee, it is approximately 90 lakhs to a crore, and that continues that way. So I think we are hoping that, you know, the SSG continues and we are able to also grow the business through further expansion. Our focus is predominantly franchisee driven, which will help us, you know, grow in capital efficient models.
Sure. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Deepak Poddar from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Poddar, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you very much for the opportunity. So, first up, I wanted to understand now on the store count. I mean, I think first half we have opened around 58. So what's the plan on that front this year as well as next year?
So I think we're looking at growing, you know, by 70 to 80 stores on a yearly basis, out of which 10 will be COCOs and balance will be franchisees. I think we've done a decent job in the first half of the year, and generally first half of the year is always better because, you know, everyone wants to start and get the benefit of the entire year. But I think we will be continuing our aggressive growth strategy, and hopefully we will have a similar number in the second half as well.
Okay, understood. And in terms of growth, which you mentioned, I think we had set a target of about 1,000 crores by FY25, right? In terms of top line. So that's what we are saying on the gross basis or on net basis?
Gross basis.
Oh, so that's gross. So 12% GST will get subtracted, right? And it will come at the reported number. Okay, and 14% EBITDA margin is also one of our key target areas, right? So any sort of timeline we are looking at, maybe what, at 1 year, 2 years?
FY25, we are targeting around 14 to 15% EBITDA, on net sales.
Fair enough, understood. Okay, that's it from my side. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Question is on the PBT versus the EBITDA margins. Since majority of the growth is driven by the franchisee model, is it fair to assume that the improvement in PBT margins will be far more than the improvement in EBITDA margins?
See, last year, if you compare to last year's second quarter, there was other income from savings in rental and the transfer of our office from one place to other, whereby 116 write-off came. But this year, mainly the profit came from the business income, and we had an
EBITDA. I'm talking of the margin X of other income. So I'm talking of PBT X of other income. Because I'm talking of the PBT margin X of other income because a lot of the rentals get reported as the head of interest and depreciation, which I would presume would primarily belong to the company on COCO outlet, right?
Depreciation and interest mainly in this 116. The more we open COCO, the impact will come in depreciation and interest. And also we have shifted some warehouse from one place to another, and we have shifted that rental impact will come in depreciation and interest. So the EBITDA will...
My question is, I'm saying since majority of the retail growth is driven by the franchising model,
where
we do not incur rental, which majority of it gets reported in the interest and depreciation, which would mean that the PBT growth should be much faster as the share of franchising in the overall retail and the overall company revenue keeps increasing. May not be so significantly reflecting in terms of the EBITDA margin, but far more at the PBT X of other income. Is that a mathematical understanding correct?
No, here I have to say that there are also some investment in the warehouse and the factory front where there are lease property where the impact of interest and depreciation as per Ind AS 116 will impact. So the PBT will be, EBITDA will be higher, the PBT will be lower.
Okay. Secondly, in terms of the working capital cycle and the ROC, is franchisee better than the company-on-company outlet? Is like, does it mean that the free cash flow actually should increase and hence we should be able to repay that much faster?
The ROC for franchise is obviously better than COCO, but since there is no investment in franchise, but for expansion in different geographies, we need the support of the COCO. And in strategic location where the investment is high, where we need COCO store to cover.
In terms of revenue, what is the current revenue contribution of retail between COCO and franchise?
COCO is around 55% and franchise is 45%.
And how should we see this mix, say, 2-3 years down the line, 55-44?
Maybe the trend may be come to 50-50.
Okay, so not significant improvement.
Because the franchisee sales are MRP less the trade discount, whereas COCO, we book the sales at MRP.
Sure. Secondly, if you could tell a little bit about the geographical, mix the way we are seeing, because from what I understand, we are very strong on the eastern side and a little bit on the south, but not that strong in north and west. So 3 years down the line, when our total store count increases significantly, is it that a larger number of stores will get opened in areas where we have lesser presence, or it will remain the way it is today?
No, we are focusing on the opening store in north and west. The percentage will definitely increase for north and west. But since the concentration is heavy on east, around 60 to 64%. So the percentage will come down to 58%, not in a such a with rapid manner.
Thank you. Mr. Kasera, may we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity of the follow-up question. So my question actually is partly in regards to what the previous participant asked. So, you know, we have a 12% EBITDA margin, that is the post-Ind AS 116. So if we adjust for the rental cost and other, what would be the pre-Ind AS EBITDA margin for us?
Around 8%.
8%. Okay. And sir, how do you see, you know, the you know, because if you look at the PAT level, you know, the PAT level margins actually are a bit lower despite YOY, they're 2.7% despite, you know, 350 bits higher EBITDA margins. So in that sense, how do you know we look at the PAT margins going ahead? Because I think that will be a better barometer given the fact that a lot of cost now sits in the depreciation and interest expenses also.
Since there are some property that we have shifted where the impact of Ind AS 116 will come, so in the EBITDA level, we'll see a much better percentage compared to the PBT or the PAT level, because these impacts comes high in the first 2-3 years and the impact will be lower in the 4th-5th year. But since we take lease property, 10-12 lease property every year, so that impact will remain.
Yeah, no, so that hence, you know, I am asking more about the PAT level margins, you know, not at the EBITDA level, because again, this Ind AS impacts will be there. So how should one look at the PAT margins going ahead? Because, you know, the drop in the PAT margin.
No, there is drop in PAT margin because of the deferred tax this year, because last year we had a first quarter loss, so deferred tax impact was negligible. But this year the deferred tax impact was there, so the impact in PAT was high, but if you see the PBT, it has increased. But as you told that going forward, there is lease assets, and that lease assets impacts are heavy in the first 3-4 years compared to the rental thing. Suppose the rental is 50, but the lease impact comes to 70. So there will be impact in the PAT margin will be comparatively growing at a lesser pace than the EBITDA margin. That is what I'm.
Sure. Got it. Basically, because you have taken a recent rental of warehouse and the factory, and that's the impact is higher now, and it should be taken.
Will come in the PBT level.
Got it, sir. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rakesh Pal from Peace Wealth Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So my question is, may I know what is the same-store sales growth and volume growth in retail size? And if you can talk a little bit about sequential gross margin compression in retail segment compared to Q1 of this financial year. Thank you.
Sorry, can you repeat your second question?
My second question is, if I can see there is a sequential gross margin compression in our retail segment. That is compared to Q1 of this financial year. Maybe you can, if you can share some light, shed some light on this. Thank you.
So on the gross margin, Q2 versus Q1, the reason is that in Q2 this time we had the EOSS also, and also we had the entire impact of the promotional campaign which we do in during the festive season, which is basically we have a gifting campaign, which helps us increase the average billing value. So they both the impact have come during the Q2. Generally, what happens is that the impact of the promotional campaign is broken up between Q2 and Q3. This time, since Pujo was in the beginning, since the Pujo was in the beginning of Q3, so the entire impact of it has come within Q2. So I think that's why you're seeing a bit of a blip, but in Q3 onwards, that number should normalize.
Okay, ma'am, one more question, last question. What are your sales, same-store sales growth and the volume growth in retail segment?
So I think compared to last year, we have, as I said, the volume overall, we have degrown by about 8%. I think the value has been 15%. I think the SSG would be in the range of approximately 10%. 8%, and the balance would be coming from new store openings.
And this volume degrowth you are talking, it is on the combined level, right? Retail plus, distribution level, right? Volume degrowth.
No, so even on the retail side also it's a similar number.
So volume degrowth has happened in retail side, right?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi team, good afternoon. Two questions. The first question is, we intend to reach 1,000 crore by FY25, and this year we are seeing on gross basis 800 crore. So I'm just trying to decipher this growth. So we are looking at 12-13% CAGR, and we are opening 70-80 stores every year. So that gives you 7-8% delta on growth. And we have said in the past that ASP, we are looking at 4-5% increase on a yearly basis. So does it mean that on volume side, we are not looking at, a high single digit kind of a growth also? I mean, how should we look at this number? Because math just doesn't add up.
No, so on the SSG side, it's around 5-6%, which will be driven by an ASP growth of around 4-5%. And the balance will be coming from new store opening, which will be a function of volume and volume, predominantly volume, right? So I think we will be having volume growth coming in.
Okay, so I mean, Namrata, my follow-up on that is that, we are saying that the kind of range that we have for the value that we provide, there is hardly anybody who can match us. So even in the same store, don't you think that the volume growth can be in mid-single digits or high single digits? It's so difficult to drive volume in the same store.
Retailing is a very localized environment. It's not something that people travel 20 kilometers to shop at a store irrespective of the kind of price point you're offering. So if in a particular, it's a 5-kilometer radius or 6-kilometer radius. So in a 5-to-6-kilometer radius, the population is not increasing that drastically, right? So you cannot expect the single-digit growth to continue for over like almost 10 years. So till you reach maturity level, you can expect a volume significant growth. But after reaching maturity, it's now going to be growing at almost 8-10% on a year-on-year basis. It doesn't work practically across all the entire retail industry.
Okay. And second question is, slightly longer term on distribution side. So I think we have been saying that we are working on even range architecture on distribution side, and to increase the, premium product percentage. So currently we're standing at 35%, 36% gross margin there. So with whatever efforts that we're making there, in 2-3 years, do we see our distribution margin going to 39-40%? Is that something that you guys are looking forward to?
Yes, definitely. That's something which we are definitely looking forward to, and we're hoping that happens through a mix of premiumization, and price increases, but predominantly driven to premiumization because we're looking at getting into more sub-premium and premium categories for the distribution business.
But that depends on the raw material prices to stable down.
Right, that I understood. The RM price scenario has been pretty volatile in last 1.5 years. So I'm saying on a normalized basis, these RMs are not so volatile. And a lot of people on distribution side do make 40% kind of a gross margin. So,
no, fair.
That is fair.
Yeah, thanks. That's it for me.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Nachiket Kale from Orient Capital for closing comments.
Hi. Thanks, everybody, for participating on this call. I would also like to thank the management for their time on the call. Orient Capital is the investor relations advisor to Khadim India. For any queries, please feel free to get in touch with us. Thank you. Have an excellent day.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Khadim India Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.